Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let's have Ina Mae Gaskin, the mother of modern midwifery, set up our Mother's Day conversation about giving birth and rethinking your birth story.
It's so hard to generalize about women, Hillary, because we're so all over the place. And that's why it's so tricky to, talk about birth and these experiences, but it's so important that we do.
Ina Mae Gaskin in conversation with my guest, Hillary Frank, the host of the podcast, The Longest, Shortest Time. It's a podcast about parenting young kids age 0 to 36 months, and it's now a co-production with WNYC. Hi, Hillary. Welcome back to the show, and welcome to the family.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
And that clip of legendary midwife Ina Mae Gaskin was from a miniseries that you did, looking at what happens when the mother wants a natural birth but can't have one. And that's your own story. Do you want to start with a brief version of your own story?
Sure. So like you said, I wanted a natural birth. I sort of studied the Ina Mae Gaskin books, like the Bibles of natural birth. And I thought that if you just kind of know all the relaxation techniques and, you know, kiss your partner, are willing to make animal noises, that kind of thing, that you can get your natural birth. And it turned out for me, through like a number of kind of circumstances beyond my control, I did need interventions and wound up having these interventions. Basically wound up with an episiotomy that broke apart, and I was unable to walk for 2 months after having a baby.
So for some women, there's a lot of pressure to have a natural, magical birth. It's internal pressure. And if a mother really wants one, anything else can feel like a deep disappointment or even, in the worst cases, a failure.
Failure, absolutely. I mean, I felt like I failed. I did. I mean, because then I could not – it wasn't just the birth. It wasn't like I was trying to achieve something, really. It was that I felt like I could not be the mother that I wanted to be because of the interventions, I couldn't be there for my baby in the way I wanted to.
So is this why you did the podcast? So that women – realize that, if you've wanted a natural childbirth and for whatever reason your body wouldn't let you have one, this is not a failing on your part. This is just something that happened to you.
Absolutely. I mean, I wanted to do it for that reason, but it was for other women, but also selfishly, I wanted to find out for myself, like, was there anything I could have done? How can I, like, write this for myself in my own mind?
And what qualifies as a natural childbirth exactly? Does it mean no medication, no intervention at all? A woman I know says she did have two natural childbirths, went through many, 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 many hours of labor, didn't get an epidural, certainly didn't get a cesarean. She did have an episiotomy in both cases. But she still says it was natural childbirth.
I mean, usually when people talk about natural birth, I think they're talking about no interventions. But I mean, then also people call it normal birth. I don't know. There's all kinds of terminology.
Yeah. I wonder if we have any listeners right now who are mothers who've gone through this, midwives, doulas, obstetricians, 212-433-WNYC. What do you tell women about childbirth and what's natural and what to expect? How do you explain the options? Women, have you had Hillary Frank's experience of not having able to complete a natural childbirth that you had planned and even dreamed about? And did you feel yourself a failure and how did you get over it? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So here's a clip from the episode of her podcast where Hillary speaks to her own midwife and with the expert midwife, Saraswathi Vaidam. She's a very famous midwife, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So here's Vaidam, and then we'll hear your voice.
There is no should, right? You made the best decisions that you could at the time with the information that you had. You have different information now. You might make a different choice next time.
I've heard this a lot, that I did the best I could with the information I had. And I believe that. You know I did my best. But the thing I can't get over is that I think my best was wrong. And I don't know if there will be a next time. So I just yearn to go back and change last time.
Aw. So you can't change last time.
I can't.
How old are your kids now?
I have one child.
She's
four.
Uh-huh. And have you sort of gotten over it?
Well, you know what made me sort of what changed it for me is that same midwife, Saraswati Vedam, she said to me, I was kind of giving her my sob story, you know, and telling her about how my daughter was facing sunny side up. That means she was sort of upside down. And she said, oh, and you pushed her out vaginally. That means you have a good pelvis. And it totally changed the way I saw my story. It wasn't that people tell me, oh, you can't go back and change it. You have to just deal with what you got. She actually changed the way I think about my own story because she told me my pelvis is good because I could fit her out that way. And I think, like, we never know as moms who feel like we failed, we never know when we're going to have those little collisions in conversations with other people that will make us rewrite our own failure stories that we tell ourselves.
Janet in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Janet.
Hi, how are you? You know, I was telling your producer, I had my babies a very long time ago. I had a mom who the story was for us that she gave birth quickly to three over 10-pound babies without even having her stockings rolled down. So that's how long ago that was. And my first child, I had to have an emergency section during a period when in the women's movement, when all of my friends were just, as they said, popping their babies out and then having a good cold beer afterwards. So I felt like a terrible failure to my own mother, to my friends, to my husband. And it took a long time for that to get worked through.
And I understand you're a psychologist.
I sure am.
Janet, thank you very much. Well, another testimony to that this happens.
That's right.
Let's talk to Heather in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Thanks. This program is so great for me because I just had a baby and had a very similar experience in that I wanted an all-natural childbirth and ended up in an emergency C-section and felt like a complete failure and was apologizing to my husband and my doula as it was happening.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I want to point out here, too, is I think that a lot of people will say, well, you know, what you want is just a healthy outcome for the baby. That's the most important thing. And I think that the mom's outcome, whether she is physically and mentally and emotionally healthy, is also important. They're two separate things, and they can have a big impact. Yeah,
it's true. And every time somebody would say that, look, you have this beautiful baby, I would say yes, but it wasn't the experience I was envisioning and that I wanted and that made me feel whole as a mother.
So do you think about if you have another, Heather, that you would do something different or go in with different expectations?
I would definitely like to have a VBAC, if possible, but I will say, I mean, I labored for 22 hours on my own with no drugs.
Wow.
Did 14 at home and then went to Mount Sinai, but then finally gave in to an epidural because I was so exhausted and just worn out. But I would definitely, if I could, I would love to have a baby at home again, but I don't think that's going to be possible after having a C-section. But if having a VBAC, I would love to have a VBAC if possible.
Thank you very much. And for people who don't know the terminology, VBAC is a vaginal birth after a cesarean. One of the things that the legendary midwife Ina Mae Gaskin told you, Hillary, was that there's a line to walk here between preparing women for the pain of childbirth and not scaring them into a cesarean or a heavily medicated birth. And 30% of women deliver via C-section, 30%. Here's a clip of Gaskin from your podcast.
Sometimes I think about it. What if we just told people that it always really, really, really hurts?
Hmm.
Well, that wouldn't be very good because you get everybody so frightened that, you know, you get people that actively want cesareans, and this is not good because you know, too much surgery doesn't have good results, just the same way that not enough surgery doesn't yield good results. On the other hand, if you lead women to think that any woman can have a birth without pain, that's a big lie.
So, Ina Mae Gaskin from your podcast. And you say on the piece that you were expecting a different Ina Mae Gaskin than the one you met in real life.
That what she said was totally shocking, stunning to me. You know, she I totally expected her because I hear home birth midwives, some of them talking about they sound like, you know, like natural birth is like a religion to them, you know, like they can be very militant about it. And I think that's because, you know, the natural birth movement has had to fight for decades, or the home birth movement, to get recognized as a way of having birth and not having so many C-sections and so many interventions.
So a contrarian, I think, to the natural childbirth movement. Liz in Fairfield, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Liz.
Hi. I am sort of always staggered. I have a 12-year-old. I have given birth. I had an epidural that I asked for after thinking that I could, that I would go into this and I would do it completely drug-free and, you know, my body will know what to do and I can do this whole thing. But the thing that upsets me about it is that sort of after my son was born, friends of mine said, well, you know, aren't you disappointed? Aren't you disappointed in how it went? Aren't you disappointed in the choice that you made? And you know what? It's not about me. It's not about my experience. It wasn't a vacation. I was giving birth. And, you know, the ultimate goal for me was to have a healthy baby, and I did. So, no, I'm not disappointed in it. And it sort of saddens me that women beat themselves up over this when the goal, to me, is to have a healthy baby.
Hillary Frank, talk to Liz.
Well, I think it's more complicated than that. I think, like, I think that, of course, like, you shouldn't beat yourself up over things. But I also think the reason it can happen is because it's not just about the experience. It's about – it has sometimes, like in my case, interventions can have very big repercussions. They can – it can affect your mothering. It can affect your relationship with your partner. It can affect your sex life, your emotional health. And so it makes sense that we worry about it afterwards.
Liz, thank you very much. But is it threatening to the health of the child, which is what she brought up? I think that was that the origin of the movement not to have the epidurals in particular? That this could somehow do harm to the baby. Is the science on that solid, or do you even ask that question?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know exactly right now. There's more research coming out with evidence about you know, the impact of epidurals and C-sections on babies. But right now, sort of what I'm dealing with is why that big question of how we process what happened to us.
Dara, or I should say Dara in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Dara.
Hello. I have a slightly different perspective. I am an advocate of natural birth, you know, and I have a son, a healthy son who's 9. But he was born in London, where in a hospital in London with a midwife and no doctors involved. And that is considered a normal birth in the UK, and actually that was my goal. That's what I wanted. But in retrospect, I'm having doubts about my choice because for two reasons. One, I suffered, my son was stuck during birth for about 3 hours, pressing on my pubic bone. And so I have what's called pubic symphysis, that my bones haven't gone back together properly. And it's, first of all, for a year after, I couldn't exercise, run, bike, do yoga, anything. And that was a pretty big deal to me because I'm athletic.
So are you saying you had a natural childbirth and you wish you hadn't?
Yes, kind of. And then the second thing is, you know, she didn't monitor my child's heart rate. You know, she did monitor it with a handheld monitor, but you know, I look back and I think thankfully he's completely healthy, but I don't think in an American hospital they would have allowed him to kind of keep mm-hmm. pushing, stuck, you know, pressing against a bone for 3 hours. And I
right.
just wonder if I put him in undue danger because of that. And then I did harm my own body, or, you know, my choice.
I understand. So there are risks of intervention and risks of non-intervention.
Right. And this is actually something that I explored in the episode before the Ina May episode, where I explore my own birth story. I went into it feeling like instead of an episiotomy, I should have had a C-section. I felt very clear about that. And I came out feeling like the risks. So the research on epidural, I'm not sure about, but the risks of C-section have been explored pretty deeply lately. And there are studies showing that the risks of C-section are worse than the risks of episiotomy. And I did wind up feeling like, well, it was better to not have a C-section in my case.
And as we run out of time, Ina May Gaskin is looking for feedback from mothers who wanted a natural childbirth but didn't get one. And she told you that she's even considering writing a new chapter or even a new book on this issue.
That's right.
Is that partly because of your contact?
It was entirely because of our conversation. She said it in the interview, and she invited women to come and leave comments on my website. Can I say the URL? It's longestshortesttime.com. And if you go to the Ina May Gaskin episode number 28, if you leave a comment, she will read it. And she's using that as evidence of whether or not she should write a new chapter for her book.
Give us that web address again.
That is longestshortesttime.com.
And if you can't remember that, we have a link on our page. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show. Hillary Frank is the host of The Longest Shortest Time, a podcast that, as of yesterday, is a co-production with WNYC. What's the next episode going to be? Do you know yet?
Yeah, the next episode comes out Wednesday morning at 3 a.m. next week, and it is about a toddler who can only say the word mommy.
You only release these at 3 a.m. to sort of replicate the experience of new parents?
That's right.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you again.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehr on WNYC.